Chema. So today is the last volume of the collected works of the mother, as I said, as of date. So there are 20 volumes which have come out, but 18, 19, 20 has not been given the term as collected works, volume 18, 19, 20. And I believe some more may come because there must be a lot of correspondence. Sometimes when I just see the extent of the letters that they have written, I just wonder, you know, they have poured all love and light into every smallest of activities. And this is not all. So we must know that there are plenty of not only letters, verbal instructions, many, many kinds of interactions which we are not aware of. But it only shows the kind of divine love she was pouring upon earth on everyone. To that extent that we know that the mother hardly had time to what we call as sleep. And even that was not sleep. So sometimes it would be 2 hours. She would go to her bed around 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. There are very interesting instances past midnight. I am talking of night, not afternoon, when people will be waiting in the courtyard. And at times when it would be rather late than Hardan Bhakshi, he will. People are sleeping in the courtyard waiting for mother. And when mother would come, suddenly he will announce, mother is coming, and everybody would wake up and sit. There's a story of girls who, three girls, young girls, who went away waiting for mother. It was past midnight, and then the mother asked about them, just imagine. And she said, no, they were very sleepy, so they went away. And mother passing the remark that, you know, gods wait, do tapasya for years to have a glimpse. So when this was told to the three children, the next day they told mother, mother, we are living under the great big banyan tree. So we don't know what is tapasya. We only know love. And she was very happy. She embraced them. So this is the way ashram life is developed. People don't understand. It's so important to get into that spirit. Otherwise, even reading the works, one doesn't understand. So there are plenty of people who just come and they think they are joining an ashram. And you know, ashram means certain activities that are told to them. You do at fixed time, mechanically or whatever way. That's not how ashram actually developed. It is the mother's creation. Everywhere actually, all that she brought was love and light. And on that basis, and joy, on that basis the whole ashram developed. So, well, it's her creation. She looks after it. So we should not worry about that part. So today we'll read this last bit. And first one is about on correspondence of the mother with Amrita. Amrit, as we know, we have given a talk on him also. Wonderful. He is Aramamada Chari Ayangar. So he is a local Tamil person, boy, who at the age of, he's born in Thiruvannamalai, and at the age of 9, he had seen a blue light, circular light, come all the way from north and come this side. And then it vanished into the sky. And then he was wondering what he has seen. Then at 13 or 14, I don't remember exactly, but in his teenage, he shifted to Pondicherry because he was studying. After 10 years, he shifted because he had to study here. And then he heard about Sri Aurobindo. He went for his darshan. First darshan when he had of Sri Aurobindo. It was not officially a darshan, but well, Sri Aurobindo is there. And as soon as he went in front of him, he saw two lamps of, as if they were not just eyes, but lamps which had lit up in front of him. And then he saw that blue ball of light which he had seen at the age of 9, come there and dissolve at his feet. So that completed the whole thing, that whom he had seen. It was Sri Aurobindo coming all the way from the north to the south. So this was the story, and he knew that kind of a development. And it is said that in his being, it was Brahma, the god Brahma. Brahmaji's consciousness that the mother had brought down. And his love for mother is, unimaginable. At the same time, mother spoke about him for our context of these letters. So at a young age, at 14, 15, he started meeting Sri Aurobindo. He didn't know English. Sri Aurobindo didn't know. Sri Aurobindo knew Tamil, but not like fluently he could converse. So you can imagine how this, what we can call a chit of a boy, he is speaking 1 hour with Sri Aurobindo. Mostly he was speaking and Sri Aurobindo would listen. Time to time he'll say something or the other. Much later, Amrita writes, I don't know what he was listening. How come he was listening for 1 hour, all that? What was he speaking? All about his school. What does a child speak? All about his school, home, everything. And then he finally came. So the interesting part with reference to the correspondence is that he became the first and, I may add, the last manager of the ashram. So managing trustee, if you want to call him, it is only Amrita, because these are mother's words, not mine. So he became the first manager, and when the trust board was formed, he became the first, what today we call as the managing trustee. When he left the physical body, it is documented, mother says, the last manager of the ashram, because nobody could take the kind of faithfulness, the kind of love, all that he, and with such a good humor. But as we will read, everybody has to go through their own difficult moments. So we should not imagine that sadhana, suddenly these people came and they became great yogis. What is important is perseverance with faith. So this is about Amrita. And he left his body on 31st January 1969. So that is physically the mother is there. And there are few people on whose departure mother commented. So about Amrita, he said he came fused with her. But he said that, expressed that he wanted his vital to remain free so that he can continue to help all those who are coming to the path. So his vital means a vital consecrated to her service and love. So that is, so there are yogis like that in the ashram context who continue to help all those who are ready and need some kind of help. I remember myself very early, I used to be very fascinated as if Nalnida is, and I didn't know who is Nalnida. I didn't know Da. So I saw one book of him, Nalini Kant Gupta, and I didn't know whether he's a man or a woman. But this contact was there, and I asked Maheshwariji. I'm very fascinated by his, somehow that name attracts me. Can you tell me something about him? And first question I asked was, is it a man or a woman? And he laughed and said, no, he was very much a man. And then after Sri Aurobindo and the mother, the only other volume which I read completely was Nalnida's collected works. All the 8 volumes, then later on. Of course, later on all other volumes I read, but this was wonderful. So he is one of those privileged one whom the mother writes from Japan, because he has been with Sri Aurobindo. So he writes to her about Babuji, on how Sri Aurobindo is writing to her. These are sweet touches. And mother writes to him on 7th November 1919. My dear Amrita, we remember you very well indeed. And we are most happy to receive your kind letter and also the photographs. These are simply splendid, especially the one standing. Whose photograph? Obviously Sri Aurobindo's. The expression is wonderful, and all our friends here to whom we showed it are enthusiastic. We will have it published in a magazine. We are eagerly expecting A.G.'s letter. That's how you know, Sri Aurobindo was called that time. But meanwhile, we lose no time and making the last arrangements for our departure. Before leaving Japan, we wish to establish the regular cargo service between Japan and Pondicherry, of which you have heard already through Sorin, I suppose. It is this important matter, not yet settled, which prevents us from at once finding the date of our departure, fixing the date, but we are hurrying as much as we can. We are glad to hear that you are back in Pondicherry, near the master, and managing the Arya during Sorin's absence. It is with great pleasure that we shall meet you once more. Will you please present to A.G. the enclosed photographs with our most loving greetings, very sincerely. I mean, this letter is like just shows the kind of deep, bond or oneness, and how Amrita literally mediating between the Ishvara and the Shakti. So These are very, very beautiful. And she would take care of the smallest details. But as I said, everybody had his difficult time. Small little details which the mother would mention that time. Amrit, because he was the one who took care of everything. It's when the trust was formed, he naturally became the first. And as I said, the last managing trustee, so to say. So she says, Amrit, it seems that the milkmen are smoking inside the dairy itself. This is intolerable and must be stopped at once. They must finish their smoke before entering the house. So she is not saying it from a moral point of view. She is saying it because, well, smoke attracts all kinds of forces of very hostile nature. Tobacco is the symbol of falsehood. Because you produce smoke out of your mouth. Just imagine. Can never look at it again next time in this way. That your mouth is the seat of agni. It should be fire. But instead of fire, it is smoke. So it's a symbol of falsehood. Amrita. The coolie in charge of the bullocks has been seen badly beating Tej. This is shameful and intolerable. Tell him in strong words that if he gives one single blow more to any of the two bullocks, he will be dismissed at once. How for animals, for the smallest creature, her love. And you can add that he must not hope that we shall not know about the beating, for we shall be informed of it immediately. Then he writes, see how she would teach him, train him, both Amrit and Champaklalji. And she said, very rarely I have used the Mahakali method. But one of them on whom, because she said people will misunderstand. And one of them on whom she has mentioned explicitly that she has used it is with Amrita. Said because his love was unparalleled. She would scold and he would be smiling. So somebody asked, mother is scolding you, don't you see? He says, that's why I'm smiling. But why are you smiling? Where are you smiling? That time nobody is asking. He said, see, have you seen mother ever scold anyone? No. See, don't you see that she has complete trust on me that if she scolds me, I'll take it in the true spirit. So this is Amrita and he writes, mother, since Indra Kumari and I were responsible for the loss of over 1 liter of milk, as per your decision to reduce this quantity from those responsible, I did not get milk for breakfast this morning. So, see, very interesting letter. Look at the nuances. So, what he did was that, okay, I should not drink myself, my share of milk, so that that 1 liter can be compensated. I somehow managed to have bread with water. But at lunch, when I was denied my share of curds, I thought, if mother were to deprive me of one of the food items for each fault of mine, I could not even mentally complete the sentence. I felt my throat choking. He would cry very readily. Now, normally, what do you expect? No, 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 it's okay. You can, you know, you should not go to this extreme. You should, normally, human response. But what does she write to Amrit? One sentence. So, food has still so much importance for you. That's all. That you are still, you know, you couldn't take the second time instead of milk and curd you had to renounce. So you started feeling that if mother deprives me of food. So he says, she's not saying that I'll never deprive. Somebody else he would say that. Why do you feel that? But with him, he says that so food has so much importance still for you. This is the way. So he writes, the first impulse in me was to tell you all that I have written above. See the openness. He's not telling just the last thing. He's saying this was my first impulse. Then a second impulse came saying, don't utter a word of this to the mother. It is quite humiliating. Later, still a third impulse said, put the whole thing in such a way as if you were an outsider and the whole comedy had been enacted by some other people. I obeyed the first impulse, this one. first impulse. What was the first impulse? To tell you all that, you know. So I obeyed the first impulse. So mother says, you did well. Didn't hide anything. You've expressed everything to me. And then he says, in the morning, while I was with you, I was able to put a pressure upon myself to keep from your presence my struggling part and to put in front of you my normal usual self. That I was trying to hide this. I was struggling inside. See, people often ask, what is the sadhana? This is sadhana, to open oneself completely to the mother. Not to hide anything. People don't realize, they want some technique of meditation. All that is okay, but this is all life is yoga. So mother says, it was quite visible for me that you were very nervous about the suppressed milk. So all this, you know, they have grown. And this 1932, that is almost 20 years with Sri Aurobindo down the line. These things come up. So then the mother used to play with the prayers and meditations. She would take out some sentences and she would distribute to those who were present. Sometimes they would play also, they would make sentences. Sometimes she would ask, which is the shortest prayer, which prayer you like. So for Amritda, she has chosen something. Two sentences from the mother's prayers and meditations chosen by her for Amrit. To Amrit, what thou willest, what thou willest. This one sentence she gave to him. Second one is, at every moment one must know how to lose everything in order to gain everything. To shed the past as a dead body and be reborn into a greater plenitude. I am not touching upon Amritda. The whole story of Amritda is there on Aroma. I had separately taken his story because it's very inspiring. And of course, his niece is there, and they're so wonderful, and they tell more and more interesting story. Now, people often ask, mother's name is MIRRA or MIRA, and there's sometimes a conflict about that. Mothers, directly. Mother has actually signed as MIRA as well as MIRRA to start with. So Amritda has asked her. So in the information he writes, Madam Mira Alfasa MIRA. No profession, because there is something she has to write, fill a form. So she says, yes. Then he asked her, I don't know your first name. Mother says, my first name is Mira. She writes it as MIRA. Then she says, in the birth certificate it is written with two R's. Mira, MIRRA, but it doesn't matter. Here it's a very, very clear official confirmation that both names are valid for mother. They're very sweet, very interesting, but as I said, we are just touching upon a few odd. See how the mother would look at something and how usually. So he asked, mother, so they have to purchase some houses, and he used to negotiate all the local people also because of the language. I have been negotiating with the owners of their representative for some time now, hours and hours, with wholehearted devotion to you. I am mixed with these outsiders, now cajoling, now persuading, now influencing them and so on. But one of them, Mr. So-and-so, went too far this morning in insisting upon his foolish demands after the agreed amount had been paid by us. Later, when I suggested to you that the deed could be annulled, you laughed at me. So he said, what is this? We have paid the amount, now again he is raising the amount. So he wanted to get it annulled. So when he told the mother that I think the deed should be annulled, she laughed. You know, there are very interesting stories like this of the mother. I swallowed whatever was hurled at me. But mother, even now, we can have back the entire amount we have paid. Because normal human logic will think of that. Why should we? He's not keeping his this thing. We better take back. And she should have said, yes, you did the right thing. That's not how the divine operates. So, it's about Auroville also. When they were purchasing one place and every time Navjaji would go, he would raise the price. And then he asked the mother that I think we should drop the whole proposal. She said, no, it must be purchased. He is greedy. He will raise the price. Give him thrice the amount and purchase it. Because it was something the divine has willed. After that, what, which way becomes very secondary. This is something our human mind finds difficult to understand. So the mother explains to him, it is the absurdity of the proposal that shocked me. To have taken so much trouble and when one has succeeded suddenly to undo everything, it would be mere folly. The very idea of it seems to me grotesque. So he writes, it was like receiving, Amrita writes, it was like receiving blow after blow from you. I thought that you found it difficult to trust me. Now his mind has gone into a different dimension altogether. So she writes, nonsense. It was not at all for such a reason. I still feel that the deed should not be annulled. Then he writes again, mother, I would like to be freed from meeting the outside people. His wounded ego is wounded, hurt, no? So he's saying that I think you relieve me of this work, you know, let somebody else handle this. I am very much shaken. From tomorrow, I shall stop giving money to Satyen for the daily expenses. And why should I keep other people's money in my safe? Money is troublesome. Mother, and I am made of such poor stuff, please save me. Mother says, what is all this? When? Pavitra told me this evening that you had wept at 3 o'clock. I was moved and felt great pity. But now I see that these were tears from wounded. Amor propre. We all have our defenses. No, we don't like them to be broken. Because we live with a certain idea and that's our highest. But the divine breaks them because he has to make us something much, much vaster. So, you would like better to throw all the work away from your shoulders? Not even thinking of the difficulties to which it could put me? Rather than accept the idea that you have to make a progress and that you will make it. You ask to be saved? There is only one way. Remain firm at your post. Receive your lost faith. And where you see now the sign of a lack of trust in you and of unjust or at least undeserved severity, recognize the action of the divine grace, laboring to make you rise above this condition of impotent and confused humanity into a state of clear, luminous and powerful consciousness. It's a prayer written by him, Amrita. Oh my God, it's amazing where he writes about complete freedom from the lower network of forces and completely opening to the higher. So, when we look at what they became, we must understand the journey. So, this is not the yoga of that, you know, weak sentimentality and hurt feelings and, you know. So, first divine tunes us. So, whenever we get hurt in life from people, you should know, he is tuning the sitar. You know how they tune the sitar? They do dug dug. Then they pull the string. Then they take out some music. Again they take a little hammer and tie it. Why? Because then the divine will start playing. If anybody has ever watched a concert, live concert of sitar, they will understand what I am saying. Same with any musical instrument. The great masters first take time. Sometimes 1 hour they are just tuning it. I'm seeing live experience when somebody was Ravi Shankar's and Alaraka and they were spending time. I thought, oh, we have run away from hostel and somehow managed to sneak in. We have want to watch the concert. Why they are taking so much time? Anyways, at one point after 1.5 hours, we thought we better go. We don't know when. And then they started. Then another 2 hours, 3 hours. It was like intoxication. Then you didn't feel like get up. It was morning 4 o'clock. That's how it works. So there is a tuning that the divine does to this instrument, and it's necessary. Those whom he takes seriously, it means that the divine has taken our resolution seriously. So that's how we should see. That's the whole idea of reading all this. It's amazing. As I said, his life itself is amazing. Just because how they were prepared. So the day he leaves his body, that day, he is still doing his service at the samadhi. He's sitting and someone asked him that, Amrita, you look a little pale or something. He said, smilingly, no, my sweetheart is giving me some trouble. And then he said something like a goodbye. Goes to his room and leaves his body very consciously. So these people were prepared through this process. We don't want the preparation. We want siddhi. And in the name of yoga, we understand sitting in meditation because that's the only thing we understand. That also we don't understand. Because meditation, we don't understand. We think if we sit for 1 hour in some dhyana and have some experience, we are doing walking the path. But that's not how anyone has ever walked the path. Even the Upanishad says, Shurasya dhara anishita duratya kavyo vadanti. So this is one. And then as I said, each one is a representative. The second correspondence is with Amalkiran. He had a very, colorful life. So another extreme. Somebody who had not a defect, which he said, I don't have. Not a defect, which included gambling, which included horse. It included everything which, one would know. But what a love for mother. And this love saved him. I remember at 104 when he was in nursing home. And somebody asked him that, give one advice with regard to sadhana. And he is quite, we all know what he has written. His works, 60 volumes. And he would joke and be, crippled from childhood because of attack of polio. But always in good humor. And then when somebody asked that give us some advice about sadhana, he remained quiet. He went into trance. So that time I was also there. I had just happened to go for the rounds, but then other people were around. Then I'd heard the question, so I thought, okay, let me hear. Then he came out and then he said 3 words, love the mother. Same advice Nalnida when he is 80 or something and maybe a little more, and in the ashram theater, after the program is over, they ask Nalnida to say some words. Nalnida goes, holds the mic, stands quiet for some time. Then he says, love the mother, it comes down. This is the essence. Kapali Shastri, same thing. At the end, you understand what that love is that carries us. So, with regard to money, he writes, now it's 1938. Mother, this is Amalkiran, Mother, a friend wishes to collect money for you. He says he will be very much helped if you write to him a statement about approaching people for monetary help. This is important because we often, get into that state. So Amalkiran is in Bombay, is quite an accomplished person. So he is asking. Mother writes, Amal, I am not in the habit of writing for money to anybody. If people do not feel that it is for them a great opportunity and a grace to be able to give their money for the divine's cause, money is needed for the work, money is bound to come. As for who will have the privilege of giving it, that remains to be seen. This is an eye-opener. And some of us have had this experience in mother's work. Then there is another one. Mother, people keep lamenting about their lot, the common pastime of humanity, and feel that their troubles and their unhappy reactions would go if other people and things were changed. This is such a universal observation that one can say that truly people say karma, etc. Nothing. It's our own thinking. The only thing we can say is ignorance. That we can say. So earlier I used to wonder what is more true. People say karma, but ultimately if you read the Upanishads, the Veda, Buddha, he would say ignorance and desire, of course. So which is really, what is really responsible for your suffering? So the root of it is ignorance. So if you remove ignorance, you remove the entire thing. What does ignorance do? It is makes you feel that by this I will be happy. It makes you feel that I am cut off from others and the comparison, wants, all this comes from ignorance. If the ignorance goes, automatically all this karma theory and everything collapses and all this sattva etc. is a way to make the ignorance little lesser and lesser. The grossest ignorance is tamas. Then rajas, where nobody except me. And then sattva, where you begin to think about others, you do things keeping in mind that others are also there and things should be done in the right way. And then when one is, it's become weak, then it's only the divine. So it's all about ignorance. So mother says something very interesting. Do you share my doubt about this feeling that people believe that all their misery will go if other people and things were changed? Common refrain of almost all of humanity except those who have awakened. So mother says, each one is the artisan of his own miseries. My love and blessings always. It's a Mahamantra. And then he used to indulge with share market also. So he has done every kind of thing. Share market, not mutual funds. He's talking of speculation. Speculation is something different, where you every day you are reading and watching how the prices are going up and down, and based on that you sell. So this speculation, we all know it artificially, it distorts the market. People take advantage of it. So he writes, mother, I dabbled in stocks and shares a little, but came a cropper. The speculation I carried on for a while has burned quite a hole in my pocket. I really wish I hadn't. Are you dead against speculations? Mother says, Amal, you ought to know that I do not approve at all of speculation. But what is done is done. I know of two persons here. One lost 10 lakh rupees. And actually he had made money, but he thought, let me make some more money and then I'll give to the mother. After that, suddenly everything crashed and he lost. Another person who left his body, died. He forgot everything about his share, whole thing. And last 2 years, when he was forgetting everything, when he was asking in the nursing home, this idli, how much is the cost? I won't be able to pay for it. He had 1 crore plus in his share money. Just lying like that. So this is how things are. All I can say is that there is not much likelihood of the war coming to an end with the end of this year. This, of course, she has asked further. Okay. Then there were strange departures from here. One person whom everybody thought he is the real yogi because he'll wear only, you know, white dhoti and very simple cloth, go like this to the dining room, won't speak much to anyone. So this is how people thought that this is yogi. What else? This is our idea of yogi. And the interesting about this person is a letter of Sri Aurobindo also. He says, how does that make a person yogi? But that apart, here he writes to the mother. Mother, it is hard for me to understand how X, who has been so absorbed in yoga for years, who has been considered to have the nature of the saints, could drift away from you and have a fall from his yogic life. This has happened to people. That's why Sri Aurobindo would say that, you know, surrender to the mother, open to the mother. So she writes, Amal, the mistake in your psychology is its excessive simplification. You look at one side and with exaggerated emphasis and ignore the rest. A person may have certain qualities, but not to perfection. And there is in the subconscious the very contradiction of these qualities. If one does not take care to eliminate this contradiction, then at any moment, under the pressure of circumstances, what is in the subconscious may rise up with force and bring about a collapse, what is called a fall from the yoga. Actually, there have been instances in yogic life, well known in Indian thought, and there are names of these beings who come rise from the subconscious. One of the names of such an asur is Vritrasur. He comes and binds and totally constricts. You feel useless, you feel depressed, you feel what is this life, you feel wasted, you feel what have I done, I am useless, and there is ultimately the urge to commit suicide. And what saves you? An opening to the grace. And this knowledge, that's how it helps. Because you must know, this is a passing thing. What is important is not these events which are happening, but how you are connected to the mother. And to remain always open and connected to her. And then she gives a hope that, I may point out to you that nothing irreparable has happened. Of course, the further one wanders away from the path, the more radical will be the conversion needed to return to it. But the return is always possible. So when we read these letters, we get an understanding that, how the journey takes place. In the beginning, everybody comes with the psychic in front and it's wonderful. Then slowly the other parts start coming. We start looking at others. This is the worst disease, that you start looking at others and what the others are, how they are. They are like this. This is the worst kind of disease, and mother has cautioned about it. And then we begin to discuss about them. And then, of course, we slowly get distracted and ultimately move away. So she cautions about all these things. And then, of course, his faith. Mother, I am still not through with this second spell of heart trouble. So he had few heart attacks, once because of cocaine overdose. So he lived to 104. Cocaine he had taken 3 times the lethal dose. And then he suddenly realized, now I am dying. So he said, doesn't matter, if I am dying, I might as well remember the mother. So he started trying to concentrate fully in the heart, and ultimately passed off, means became unconscious, but with the mother in the heart. And then he recovered, survived. It was like more than a miracle, that's how the doctor said. The first was in June 1938, owing to a gigantic overdose of a stimulant tonic powder. This what is the cocaine story. This time it is a strain of the heart muscle. The doctors have asked complete rest in a supine position. Not even the head is to be lifted. They also warn me that if I don't take extreme care, I may develop more serious trouble. This is the doctor's advice. He writes, but I feel full of your presence. And do what may, suddenly and abundantly, released poetic inspiration leads me to do. I sit up frequently, get excited with the passage of the poems through me, and my heart starts beating fast at that time. This is Amal Kiran, characteristic of him and his sense of humor. And if the doctors could then put their stethoscopes to my chest, they would begin to shake their heads at the prospect of a quick cure. But I am unconcerned. I trust implicitly in your power and feel like laughing away the black future with which they threaten me in case of carelessness about my heart. I feel certain, mother dearest, that the divine power can help. Can't it? This is he, Nishikant, some of them had that kind of faith in the divine mother. So again, you can't copy it without that faith. So when he does that, mother says, normally to somebody else he may say, no, you should take rest and listen to the doctor. Here she says, my dear child, I quite agree with you that there is a power other and much more powerful than that of the doctors and the medicines. And I am glad to see that you put your trust in it. Surely It will lead you throughout all difficulties and in spite of all catastrophic warnings. Keep your faith intact and all will be all right. So this is a reminder. Of course, we have to be in that state. It doesn't matter. And he, as I said, one of those who lived the longest in the ashram. Not the longest. There have been others, 108, even 111. But he is one of those. And then, of course, see how, what kind of flaming love. This is an interesting letter which I had once quoted because of some issues. Mother, I want to ask you a question concerned with my reaction to the inconsideration and vulgarity in Y's letter about Sri Aurobindo. And then he writes that I remember many years ago when a lady friend of mine spoke unbecomingly of you, I verbally choked her off at once. But the indignation within me went on burning. It was like a sword of fire leaping out of my chest, striking and striking through the hours. My mind could serve only to direct it accurately. It had itself little part in the actual violence. The next day, the lady had a terrific attack. A similar blaze began to go out. So he describes that full letter. And then what does mother say? It is evidently the working of the Kali force that is lit and is directing the fire in you. There is nothing wrong in its action. It is not an anger personal to you. That's the distinction it lies. But the wrath of a divine power, and it must be allowed to act. In fact, I think you could not stop it from burning in you even if you wanted to stop it. This man has drawn it upon himself and there is nothing wrong in what is happening. He alone is responsible. Of course, it must not be used for any personal aim or in any self-regarding way. So there are forces which become active and we should always be careful. Then another interesting thing, often we get, why such a person is here, why such a person is there. Actually, once long back, somebody asked me about it. I said, don't you see mother's love? I mean, who would, when we say that, if in our ignorant judgment, I'm saying ignorant, because what do we know really? Oh, such a person is here, such a person is there. So I remind them of what Tulsidas has said. Ram so swami kusevak moso. He says, Rama is such a gracious Lord. And I am such a useless servant. You know why I have been kept and made to do all this? Only because of his grace. So my answer is it is a sign of the Divine Mother's love. That she has kept everyone. All kinds. And there is something which on similar lines which he asks. Mother, surely the mother knows that a certain person is of a type that would rebel or vegetate. And in either case go away from the ashram. Knowing this, why does she allow such a person to stay in the ashram for several years? Why does she not tell him that his stay would be useless or that he can leave at any time he pleases? Many people feel like that. Of course, most of us feel it very stupidly because we believe that we are in a position to judge, which may not be true at all. So mother's answer is very interesting. Because to each one is given his full chance and there can always be an unexpected opening and a conversion. That's her love and grace. And then something, of course, for everyone to remember when people are unhappy in the ashram, says, never forget that as much outside as in the ashram, if you want to lead a happy life, you must be the master of your lower nature and control your desires and vital impulses. Otherwise, there is no end to the miseries and the troubles. So then there were people who would give him, because he was traveling out, he was in Bombay, and sometimes they would give him money for work or whatever, various reasons. So he has this practical problem that what should he do? So it do yoga and has made it a general rule, should one who is preparing to do yoga and has made it a general rule to offer you everything and depend entirely on you, accept gifts in money or kind coming from others. Because if he accepts, he is put under personal obligations and duties. Can a sadhak allow this? Can he say to himself, the divine has many ways of giving? So the mother says, the divine has many ways of giving. This is the correct thing. One never has any obligation to anybody. One has no obligation. One has an obligation only to the divine, and there totally. When a gift is made without conditions, one can always take it as coming from the divine and leave it to the divine to take care of what is needed in exchange or response. Obviously, it is understood that one should not ask anything. This is understood. Not even ask anything, but should not even have the desire for anything. But if it comes. As for ill will, jealousy, quarrels and reproaches, one must sincerely be above all that and reply with a benevolent smile to the bitterest words. And unless one is absolutely sure of himself and his reactions, it would be better as a general rule to keep silent. To come closer to the truth, you must often accept not to understand. So beautiful. Okay, so just a couple of letters more. One thing she was very, very clear about and against was no politics. So I'm seeing this again. She has written in capital letters in any of the publications. That's why Mother India, she did not promote politics. It was of a falsehood. And that's why even in our centers, I've been saying that please don't involve politicians to come, inaugurate, give speeches. They can come as members who want to seek. Like, that is our tradition also. King Janak would go and sit at the feet of King Yagyavalk. Here, it is not done. Even in, we have so many sports function and all this. Mother never once, very recently when then governor, she wanted to come. And she was told, okay, you can come, but we start dot on time. This is when mother is physically not present. And then, to her credit, she says, yes, yes, you don't wait for me, you start and I'll join. But it's a different thing that she made sure that she came in time. So that's a different thing, that politicians can come, but nothing like, you know, they have to give a speech. Some of them are so silly, so foolish, they have the habit of saying anything and everything. They have standard stock. I remember once somebody speaking in Bhopal about on Shurbindo's, you know, Mahasamadhi, and he said it's such a marvel, what a miracle that Shurabinda was born on 5th December and he left his body on 5th December. I was so surprised. Why are you asking him? So when, luckily after that my talk came and I had to correct it, and it has happened sometimes through Swamiji's who speak anything and everything, you know, in the name of Shurabinda. So we should be careful not to mix things. It's okay, each one has a right wherever, whatever one is doing. But with regard to work, the mother wanted to be politics out of all the publications and wherever else. And then another one, he asked mother, how should one read the books of Sri Aurobindo and the mother? And the mother says, the true method is to read a little at a time with concentration, then keep the mind as silent as possible, without trying actively to understand. But turn upward in the silence and aspire to the light. The understanding will come little by little. And later, in a year or two, you will reread the same thing. And then you will know that the first contact was vague and incomplete. And that the true understanding comes later on when you have tried to put into practice. Most important. Ashram and Auroville, the role. This is the letter she said very clearly. What is the difference between the ashram and Auroville? Mother says, the ashram will keep its role as pioneer, inspirer and guide. Auroville will be an experiment in collective realization. There is no ambiguity about it. Okay, just quickly we'll read just two more. So he asked the mother, Divine Mother, now this is Jagannath. Jagannath Vedalankarji is the one who translated some of the works in Sanskrit, including that famous mantra of Sri Aurobindo of the mother, Supreme Lord, Eternal Truth. Let us obey thee alone and live according to truth. So he translated Paramochya Prabhu. And he was a erudite scholar of the Vedas. So he asked, today I am writing to you, now it's a different sadhak, a few lines about an externality of life. Often I have been careless about dressing my hair. People could ask anything. The main motive behind has always been that it is a sheer waste of time and energy which can be spent for a higher pursuit. There have also intervened periods when I was impelled by some other motive, superior or inferior, and either I became excessively careful and attentive to the dressing of my hair, or else I became more inattentive to it. Mother says, so he asked that I want now to take the right yogic attitude. Mother says, generally the motive behind all neglect of the body is a tamasic laziness. The right attitude is not to give an undue importance to these externalities, but at the same time to take all necessary care for the body to remain fit and strong. Moreover, external untidiness is always the expression and symbol of some inner confusion and lack of organization, mental or vital. And we all know this interesting correspondence with Madan Lal ji. People can read. It's interesting to see how she molded everyone. So obviously, I mean, another person whose love for mother, these are people, very interesting people. Some of us have met Gautam Chawla and... So I am not reading because they are there. This is just to give a feel of the work, and people who want can read it. There is one particular one which is written to Gautam Chawla. His house is there. If you go on the road of care, the last house on the right. I've been into his house. Very nice. Very sweet person. Very, very... A lot of love for mother. All these people, that's the beauty. Same with Madan Lal Himmat Singha ji. He is where you have walked. So, and there are a lot of stories they have told. So, now of course, this is from mother we are reading. He is, with the Ganesh temple, with Madan Lal Himmat Singha, Ganesh ji, that was all that part of the land from Wak. And Ganeshji came to mother asking for a little more space because the devotees are unable to do circumambulation. And Madan Lal ji was, he also had Ganesh coming to him and telling him that money will come for the work, you don't worry. So very interesting, sweet little stories. But here it's only what they wrote to the mother. So Gautam Chawla writes, more and more it seems that the ashram is changing into a society with goodwill toward the divine. Is this what you wanted to do when 50 years ago you started a spiritual community, the ashram? Look at the mother's answer. I never started a spiritual community. Think about it. I never started a spiritual community, and I never wanted to make one because this was never Sri Aurobindo's will. What he wanted me to do, I have done. And I continue to do what he wanted to do in accordance with the divine will. Very You know, she has not revealed that little secret, but she has given, it's not a collective ego that we should form, you know, like a typical. Okay. Gautam Chawla asks her again. He was like that. Such love for mother. In this lonely life, you are the only refuge. Never leave me. Mother says, I have no intention of leaving you. So it's interesting to see how these people lived. And the last one is Shyamsundar Jhunjhunwala, Shorbindo action, walk area that you must have seen. He's one of the four persons who were given charge of Auroville at one point of time. So he asked the mother, sometimes I see you in the sky, in the moon, in the sun. And in all these places, I am there at your feet. An audacious fantasy of your child, which is so mediocre. So after this he writes. And mother writes, it is not a fantasy. It corresponds to something true. Every human being feels himself to be mediocre as soon as he strives to become divine. Because then you realize that, you know, before even, in fact, before turning toward the divine, people have that idea of themselves. The moment they turn, they see, my God, it's an ocean, Himalaya. Whatever you know is nothing. So, I think that's it. We can stop. That just maybe one more. I put a mark, so I'll see. Shyamsundarji is writing. I find that I still have an attachment to money, direct or indirect. She says, it is the contagion of collective attachment. Money is a god that is universally worshipped upon earth, and it is difficult to dethrone. When it becomes only an instrument of the divine work, the difficulty will disappear. So with this we'll this is the completion of the collected works of the mother. Let me see the last letter. Maybe we can stop with that. What I do one day. Two letters, very interesting. My hope lies in the certitude that the mother's will prevail over me. Shyamsundar's letter. Mother says, you are right. In time we will triumph over all obstacles. And the next, which is the last letter of this volume and the last of all the series. What I do one day is no longer satisfying the next. Self-satisfaction is a great misery. I did my work very well. I don't have to progress. Of course, that inner satisfaction is a different thing. But mother says this proves that the urge for progress is very strong. It becomes all-powerful when it is accompanied by the peace of eternity. So it should not be a restlessness, but conterminous with peace. Chema.